WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy, happy Monday. That's right, a new month. Can you believe that? March 2nd, 2015. Welcome to the show. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. We've got a great hour in store for you today to kick off your week. Today, I'll be chatting with Graham Couch, Lansing State Journal sports columnist. Graham was in the house in Wisconsin to witness the MSU men's basketball loss to the Badgers. Graham will join me in a sec to break down that game. We'll also be taking your calls on that game and anything that's on your sports noggin. We'll also be talking about Ndamukong Suh. Yes, the Lions have decided not to enact the franchise tag on the defensive phenomenon. We'll break down that and you'll get our thoughts on whether or not that was the right move for the Honolulu Blue. And also, who is the NBA MVP right now? Because I tell you what, sitting back watching that Cavaliers and Houston Rockets game last night, I know who I'm casting my vote for. We'll be chatting about all of that and so much more, but let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners, again, for this March 2nd. All right, let's begin on the hardwood. The MSU men's basketball team, they fell to number 5 Wisconsin yesterday, 68-61, the final of that one. But I tell you what, it was not as close as that final score indicates. Now, Badger senior Frank Kaminsky was just simply unstoppable, scoring 31 points, more than the Spartans starting 5 combined. Now, Wisconsin's victory clinched the Big Ten's regular season title. Wisconsin now claims at least a share of that title. Spartan junior Bryn Forbes had 21 points, and Travis Trice finished with 16. MSU has lost 2 in a row and will return to the Breslin on Wednesday against Purdue for senior night. All right, the MSU women's basketball team, they won its third straight game this weekend, finishing the regular season one game over 500 and giving the Spartans WNIT eligibility for the postseason. Now, Tori Jankowska had 26 points and 9 rebounds, and Ariel Powers had her 22nd double-double of the season with 17 points and 17 rebounds on the victory. Now, MSU opens against Michigan for the Big Ten tournament, which starts out in Illinois this Thursday. All right, the MSU softball team, they split its final two games of the weekend on Saturday, rallying for 6 runs in extra innings against Ole Miss to win 9-3 and then falling 4-0 in a time-shortened game against host school Florida Atlantic. Now, MSU finished the weekend 2-2. They are now 10-8 overall as they return to Florida next weekend to play 4 games at the University of Central Florida. And the Spartan baseball team, they lost this weekend to number 7 UCLA. Now, the Bruins jumped to an early lead, scoring 4 unanswered runs by the end of the third inning. Now, the Spartans didn't get a chance to catch up because rain halted the game for an hour and 40 minutes. Now, the game was eventually called after the top of the 5th because the poor weather was just unrelenting. Now, over spring break next week, wow, spring break is next week, can't believe that one. Now, the Spartans will travel on an 8-game road trip. They'll take on Toledo first in South Carolina for the Coastal Carolina Invitational. All right, folks, and I'm excited about tonight because it's one of my favorite days in all of sports when it comes to the high school level. This week marks the beginning for girls' high school basketball playoffs. Tonight, Grand Ledge will host Lansing Everett. Oklahoma will host Lansing Waverly. And East Lansing will host DeWitt, along with so many more matchups. Tip-off, for tonight's district games is at 7 p.m. Lansing Eastern has a bye and will play the winner of the East Lansing and DeWitt girls game. The district semifinals and championship game will be held at Grand Ledge High School. And I will be in the house for tonight's district matchups. You don't want to miss our coverage throughout the week as the postseason continues. All right. Well, the Detroit Lions, they have opted to not use their franchise tag on Ndamukong Suh. Now, according to reports, the Lions would have to pay Sue upwards of up to $26.9 million. That's a lot of moolah. That's how much they would have to pay to keep him in 2015 with no guarantee of a long-term deal. Now, Sue will become an unrestricted free agent if the Lions fail to sign him to a long-term deal by March 10th, just 8 days away. And last but not least, Jose Iglesias, one of my favorite players in Major League Baseball. Finally, the man is back in the Tigers lineup after more than a year. Now, he will take the field today in the Tigers exhibition opener against Florida Southern, starting at shortstop and batting second. Now, Tigers manager Brad Ausmus said Iglesias will play just the first inning, but just to see the kid on the field, nonetheless, is an encouraging sign. All right, folks. Well, that wraps up our current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those, you know that number. You probably got it on speed dial and locked into your cell phone, all right? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I'll read it live on the air, or even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. So without further ado, hey, it's time to start the show. All right, folks. Well, I tell you what, man. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood of Mid-Michigan. I woke up this morning, looked out my window after wiping the crust out my eyes, and I tell you what, birds are flying around. They were chirping. The snow seemed to be melting. It's about, what, 30 degrees outside right now? I mean, we've been pummeled with cold weather for weeks, and it is certainly got to put a smile on your face when you wake up. And I tell you what, 30 degrees, considering the weather we've had, I mean, 30 degrees feels like 70 degrees outside right now. I almost put on my bikini on my way to work. Gladly, I didn't do that, though. I'm pretty sure many of my coworkers wouldn't have want that one. But I tell you what, it's a beautiful day out there. We've got a hot show in store for you. I'm in a great mood. It was a great weekend. And again, folks, we're going to be taking your calls all the way up until 2 o'clock. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, and I'm sure many of you out there want to, of course, talk about the MSU men's basketball loss to Wisconsin yesterday afternoon. Of course, that was a 4 o'clock tip out in Wisconsin, and man, oh man, I mean, Wisconsin just, from the start of that game all the way up until, you know, the final buzzer in the second half, I mean, complete momentum throughout the entire game in favor of the Badgers. Again, it was 68-61, the final of that one. But that final score doesn't indicate just how big of a disparity this game alluded to for 40 minutes. I mean, Wisconsin kind of showed that they are a national championship contender and that they are pretty serious. So what did you think? What have you thought about this stretch for the Spartans now? Because I tell you what, it wasn't too long ago when we were giving this team a lot of high praise. I mean, what, they won 4 or 5 straight. Best stretch all year for the team. And everyone was on their high horse saying, yeah, typical Izzo team. They're clicking right around tourney time. And here we go. But you saw what has happened, of course, at home, starting at home against Minnesota last week. Bad loss against a team that the Spartans should have beat. Then they go on the road and play in Wisconsin, and a blowout, just a complete blowout. So what are your thoughts on it? I'm sure many of you have your opinions on it. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Later on in the show, we'll also, of course, be talking about Ndamukong Suh. The Lions deciding not to franchise tag the man. And, you know, I kind of saw this coming because if you look at it, again, the Lions, if they did franchise Ndamukong Suh, I mean, we're talking, folks, near $27 million. If they enact the franchise tag, I mean, you are basically taking yourself out of the free agent market game. And looking at the other needs that this team needs, of course, going into next year, it makes sense. At least in my eyes. It definitely makes a lot of sense why the Lions did not franchise tag this man. So, I definitely agree with it. There are many people out there that feel different. They feel as though the Lions should have done everything to make sure that Ndamukong Suh is in a Honolulu blue jersey next year. But I get the business side to this whole perspective because Ndamukong Suh is great. Don't get me wrong. He had his best year of his entire career last year. But again, to pay the man $27 million and to take yourself out of the free agent bid when you have other glaring needs on this team as well, I get the mindset of that, and I kind of like the move. Also, later on, we'll be talking about our weekend winners as well, taking a look at the weekend that was in sports and bringing you who we thought had the best weekend overall. So you don't want to miss any of that. Again, the number to call is 517-355-9527. 95-27, 517-355, 95-27. But without further ado, let's invite our guest for today's current sports. I tell you what, he knows his stuff, folks. His name is Graham Couch, Lansing State Journal sports columnist and great friend of Current Sports. He's also been on Current Sports TV. Graham, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing well, Al. How you doing?
Oh, fantastic. Thanks a lot, Graham, for joining me today. Now, of course, you were in Wisconsin to cover that game yesterday afternoon, 4 o'clock tip. And you saw what happened, of course, Michigan State ideally getting blasted by Wisconsin. I mean, that final score, 68-61, really doesn't tell the true story of how that game really played out throughout 40 minutes. But I got to ask you, Graham, when looking at that game last night, because I tell you what, looking at Wisconsin, this is a national title contender in my eyes. And looking at, you know, Frank Kaminsky, how outstanding he is. Right now, I think he's the, at least in my eyes, the front runner for National Player of the Year. Should people really be shocked about this loss?
No, I mean, this loss isn't the problem. And I think what's happened is it's compounded by the Minnesota loss. And if Michigan State had just won that game, they would have won five straight. I think this game might have been a little closer and a little different. And people would have lived with it. Wisconsin is the best team in the Big Ten by far. I think they're a true national title contender. They have a player who, when you talk about projects and development, I mean, you know, this guy was 4 points, two rebounds a couple of years ago and has become just a magnificent offensive big man, probably the best. And when you think about polished offensive big men, and I wrote about this a little today, and he and Jahlil Okafor from Duke, you know, there was Blake Griffin years back. You know, he was more... he was a physically dominating guy, but you got to go Elton Brand, Tim Duncan, 15, you know, 17 years since college basketball has had guys who could do this. And what Kaminsky's become is pretty remarkable.
Yes, certainly. And, you know, what was it like? Because you got to see him firsthand in person. I mean, watching Frank Kaminsky in person, I mean, is he your National Player of the Year? And what, if so, what does give him that leg up on a guy like Jahlil Okafor?
Well, I think he's just got more to his game right now. If I've got the number one pick in the NBA draft, I'm taking Jahlil Okafor, no question.
gotcha.
Right now, as a college player, first of all, he's been there 4 years. I mean, if Jahlil Okafor stuck around a couple of years, he'd be unbelievable, probably. But you know, I think that he's got range. He can drive you better. Okafor is a wonderful player with his back to the basket, a wonderful post player. But Kaminsky's just about as versatile as they come as an offensive big man.
Yeah, certainly. Now, Graham, you talked about, of course, the way this game is perceived is certainly compiled on the fact that Michigan State lost a game that they should have won at home last week, of course, to Minnesota, a game that, you know, went to overtime, shouldn't have went to overtime, and the Spartans should have closed that one out. But, yeah, you know, I have to ask you, again, you just hit it on it just a minute ago. Did you sense a lingering effect from the loss to Minnesota in this game from the Spartans?
Oh, yeah. No question. I think there was a hangover, and they disputed that a little in the locker room. Izzo said it, but I think the game looks different early if Thursday doesn't happen the way it did.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, looking at the start of the game, Brandon Dawson was a guy that certainly, you know, he was a talk of the town to start that game because he was benched. He did not start. First off, I got to ask you, Graham, because you got a chance to talk to Izzo after the game. Why was Brandon Dawson benched, and was it the right move?
Well, it's clear there's some things going on. Some of it probably had to do with the way he played in Minnesota. I think there are other things that happened in his personal life since that game that maybe he didn't handle correctly that contributed to it. You know, I don't know 100% for sure, but he definitely didn't look like the same player. Like, Nigel Hayes took him to school on the post twice out of the gate. And, you know, Dawson didn't play in this game a year ago. And Hayes really gave them grief when they had Kenny Kaminsky trying to guard him, and it just didn't work. And the thought was, I mean, Dawson should be the ideal matchup for Michigan State in that scenario. And he just wasn't. You know, he didn't look focused. He didn't look like he does when he's really dialed in. And look, they need him back because he's the guy that separates them athletically from other teams. If he plays like this, they will lose to Purdue, who's a really good basketball team, and they won't win in Indiana. And then you're going into the Big Ten tournament needing to win a game probably to get to the NCAA tournament. And you don't want to be in that kind of pressure-packed scenario playing a Thursday game against a team without a great resume that's desperate and, you know, really looking at the possibility of the NIT.
Now, you know what, Graham, you know, when I look at this team and what I've been evaluating all year for me, I mean, when you take away, because Michigan State thrives on this, of course, they're great when they get out in transition, are able to run and get easy buckets that way. And also, when they seem to be hitting down that, you know, that 3-point shot. But when you take those two things away from Michigan State and you force them to run a half-court offense, I mean, it seems as though this team sort of just crumples. I mean, how big was MSU exposed yesterday against Wisconsin in that regard? Because Wisconsin was able to get back in transition. Go ahead.
I think they've been exposed all season. I think Illinois was probably the one game where all of a sudden in the half court they looked smooth and aggressive because they didn't even shoot that well at Illinois.
Right.
I think they were 3-for-15 on threes, but they were attacking. They won the game at the free throw line. They looked solid in the half court. Most of this, and that was when the best of the Tum-Tum starting and Trice on the wing, and all of a sudden it looked like a different offense. But, yeah, that's definitely the limitation of this team is there are three great ways in most modern college basketball offenses, which are all pretty predictable these days, to get offense. One is late in the clock, you got to have a guy get to the rim. And Tum-Tum's sort of that, but he's not a finisher at the rim, so they don't really have that. You got to have a stretch four. Well, they had that in Kenny Kaminsky, but he left the program. They had that last year in Adrian Payne. They had that Draymond Green. They don't have that, really. They don't have a guy who, you know, is a stretch four from outside. Denzel Valentine, when he's at four, is a little bit of that. And then you got to have somebody you can throw to on the block. And they don't have that. And so the three ways that you really get easy offense is in the half court. They
right.
don't have any of it, really. And so you're going to be limited. I mean, that's just the reality of this team. And it has been all season. And the Tum-Tum dynamic changed it for a minute. And if they hadn't let up against Minnesota, maybe we wouldn't be talking about that going away. I mean, that Minnesota game, that's a hangover that keeps on giving. They've got to find a way to win this game against Purdue.
Yeah, they certainly do. Again, the last home game of the season for the Spartans against Purdue this week. Now, how big does the Big Ten tourney now become for the Spartans, Graham?
Well, that's yet to be determined. These last two, you know, if they win these last two games, and if you ask me to guess right now, I think they're going to lose to Purdue at home Wednesday, but I think they're going to beat Indiana. I think the matchup's better. I think Indiana's poorly coached compared to Purdue. I think they don't have they like to run, which plays into Michigan State's forte, and they don't have great bigs. And so I think even though that's in Assembly Hall, I think that's a better game for Michigan State. If they win one of those games, I think they're in.
Okay.
But at that point, you know, you never played a loser, you never played a tank, but you're better off not as an 8 seed or 9 seed. And if all you can do is be an 8 or 9 seed, if that's your high ceiling, and you can get in by losing, if you want to get to the second weekend, you need to lose. I mean, that's not something you'd ever try to do, and you don't want to say that.
Right.
You cannot beat a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament in the second round. They probably can't beat a 2 seed. But if they're an 11 and they get an 11-6 and a 3, that is a severe drop-off in college basketball when you get beyond 8 and you get down to the Louisvilles. And I mean, you watch teams like Notre Dame ranked 9th. Notre Dame's not a very good basketball team. They're okay. Louisville, grossly overrated. You want to get one of those type of teams in that second round, and you've got a chance.
Right. And, you know, when looking at the NCAA tourney, you know, Graham, I've always said that it's all about matchups as well. And, you know, one of the things about this Spartan team is that, of course, that front court with Dawson, Schilling, Costello. I mean, it seems as though when they go against another formidable, I guess you could say, front court, they struggle. I mean, how big of a weakness will that be come tourney time?
Yeah, well, that's a problem. I mean, the thing about the Schilling and Costello is you put them together, you've got a pretty good player, especially defensively. And Schilling struggles against a real heady veteran like Kaminsky. Although most people struggle against Kaminsky, but he's a guy who's got quick enough feet to do it. And Costello is a little more savvy player, but doesn't have the feet that stops a player like that. That is going to be an issue. They do have size. I think having both those guys, you don't worry about foul trouble as much because you know every once in a while you run into it. But they're able to play pretty straight up, and that's 10 fouls to give and. There's not a huge difference between those two guys, which helps in that regard. So I don't think that's going to be their issue. If they're going to win, if they're going to upset somebody in the tournament beyond winning that first game, which is obviously a big question too, they're going to have to really shoot the ball well. Travis Trice is going to have to shoot the ball well. Denzel Valentine is going to have to shoot the ball well. And then more than anything, though, Brandon Dawson is going to have to be the energy he's been a lot of this year. I mean, when he's getting 12 rebounds a game, when he's playing above the rim like that, he's just a menacing, intimidating player that most really good teams, don't have an answer for. And when he's not there, teams have an answer for just about everything Michigan State has.
Yeah, you know, with when it comes to Brandon Dawson, Graham, it seems as though, I mean, Brandon, the way he starts a game is usually how, you know, he plays throughout a game. I mean, if he starts off with that energy and is able to, you know, to see the ball go in the basket from the very beginning, I mean, it seems to have a trickle-down effect for an entire 40 minutes. I mean, again, you know, yesterday, of course, he didn't start. And it seems as though when he came back in that game, I mean, he just wasn't there mentally. He's more of a mental player with me. You know, and I definitely understand. I mean, there were certainly other intangibles to why Izzo, of course, sat him down. But when it comes to Brandon, do you agree with that? Is it a mental thing for him?
Oh, absolutely. Whatever it is, I mean, I think he plays pretty hard most of the time this year. He's been great, but yeah, I mean, it's a desire to want to be locked in every game you play. And look, if you're Brandon Dawson, think about it. We love playing pickup hoops because basketball is fun because you can do certain things on the dribble. If you've got Brandon Dawson's skill set, only parts of the game are fun. You're not somebody who's great with your handles. You're not somebody who can drive. You're not somebody who can shoot from outside. All the things that make basketball a lot of fun, he doesn't get to do. Now, playing above the rim is the one thing that most of us can't experience that he gets to enjoy. But I mean, I can understand why on most nights. It's why a lot of big guys, bigger than him, like centers, don't actually love the game. They grow to be 6'10". They're fairly athletic. People say you ought to play basketball, and they do. But it's different than the truly wanting to be there. And I, you know, I'm not saying he doesn't love the game. I'm just saying I can understand from his standpoint why night in and night out, you know, other than the having the carrot at the end of the rope that's a huge payday if he does things right, I can understand why this isn't always easy to be focused.
Yeah, that is certainly true. All right, again, folks, Lansing State Journal sports columnist Graham Couch. Graham, always a fun time when you're on the air with me, man. Thanks a lot.
Anytime, Al.
All right, folks. So what do you think about the loss? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, you'll get to hear our thoughts on it. Mine along with Alex Sharg, our engineer here on Current Sports. We got so much more to get to, folks. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all out there that this Wednesday, that's right, Current Sports TV returns. I'll be sitting down with the Okemos High School hockey team. How about that? They have had a very, very good season thus far. Actually, just took home a CAAC championship not too long ago. I'll have a lot of fun with that team. We haven't covered hockey in a while, actually, on Current Sports TV. So definitely excited to invite them into the Current Sports TV studio. So again, if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, all you got to do is right now go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free. It's always a fun time each and every Wednesday night here on the campus of Michigan State. That's where we're located. So, all right, well, you just heard from Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal, sports columnist for the Lansing State Journal. You just got his take on yesterday afternoon's Michigan State and Wisconsin men's basketball game. Of course, Michigan State falling in that game 68-61. The Badgers really controlling every facet from the start of that game all the way up until the finish of it. I want to invite now Alex Sharg, our engineer here on Current Sports. Alex, how you doing, my man?
You know, I'm trying to heal the wounds that Michigan State left many fans and trying to analyze into what exactly you do moving forward, Al. And I just think there's not a lot you can do. With a loss like that, you just got to keep your head up, man, and keep chugging along. The Minnesota loss was tough, definitely a momentum kind of loss. With that, I feel like with sports, you know how much momentum is a huge factor. So I feel like that kind of led to the demise of this game. And, hey, there's still a lot of basketball left to play. They just got to move forward and do what they need to do from here.
Yeah, you know, for me, when looking at that game, I'm not so much surprised that MSU lost. But at the same token, you know, I said after the Minnesota game that the way Michigan State rebounds from that loss would be the biggest test of the year for the Spartans, because it was such a demoralizing loss. Of course, looking at 2 hours beforehand at home in that game, you know, Michigan State had the Big Ten Appreciation Day. It was a celebration. It was ideally a celebration for many fans out there. Actually, the student section got a chance to show up early, be on the Big Ten Network for 2+ hours. It was great. A lot of guests as well coming in the house for that game. And then you had Michigan State just sort of relinquishing towards his old ways, more so near the end of that Minnesota game. And I tell you what, you know, looking at Tom Izzo, how, you know, Tom Izzo was, and deservedly so, very, very mad at how that game transpired from an effort standpoint, from a late game execution standpoint, just not a happy man. And the players going into the locker room got a chance to talk with Denzel Valentine and Travis Trice and Gavin Schilling on that loss. And, you know, I talked about how this would be, how Michigan State responds to that loss would be the biggest test for him, because in many ways, Michigan State should have beat Minnesota. And it just seemed as though there was, as Graham talked about, there was a hangover, you know, in this Wisconsin game, looking back at that Minnesota game. First off, you got to give mad props to Frank Kaminsky, because I think Alex right now, he is, if I had to cast a vote right now for National Player of the Year, Frank Kaminsky would be my guy. I mean, we're talking 31 points here, 11 of 17 from the floor, 3 of 4 from three-point land. I mean, you know, what makes him so dynamic is that, and last night, you guys saw it, I mean, Frank Kaminsky showed that this kid is ready for the NBA right now. Right now. I mean, you can slap an NBA jersey on him right now, folks, and he would be a first-round pick if the draft was held right now. You know, just his post moves have become so polished over the years. And as Graham talked about, I mean, this is a kid who averaged 5 points. 5 points last year, folks. And a look at how his game has matured and transitioned and how confident he's become. I mean, my goodness. I mean, he's a hard guard. He has great size to him. You saw him able to post up, you know, deliver. You know, he can take your right or left. I mean, he's unbelievable. Very polished player down low. Even had 3 blocks. He's great defensively as well. So that's a tall, tall glass of water when you talk about putting that matchup against a Brandon Dawson or Gavin Schilling or Matt Costello. I mean, there was a huge talent disparity when looking at that matchup throughout the game. And I just think, you know, Michigan State right now, they lack layers. And what I mean by that, Alex, is if you take away the transition game, if you get back on defense after every missed shot or every made shot for that matter, and if you guard them around the perimeter and force them to take tough 3-point jumpers, you limit what they can do. Michigan State, in turn, is forced to run a half-court offense and to find other ways to score. And they are not fluent in that area of their game right now. When you force them to say, all right, let's go, you take away the half court here. I mean, you take away that transition game, run an offense and try to score on me. Michigan State has not lived up to the billing. And they got exposed. And they've been exposed all year, to be honest with you, when you look at the losses they've had. Mind you also, Michigan State has not fared well against good to great opponents. Teams that Michigan State are stacked against, you know, ranked opponents, I should say. Michigan State has only one ranked win all year, and that's against Ohio State. That came not too long ago, but they lost against the Dukes of the world. They've lost against the Kansases of the world. They've lost against Maryland, and not to mention that Notre Dame game, which went to overtime. Michigan State, when they've been pitted against a formidable opponent, they have not stacked up, and that's the thing that worries me, because that's what the NCAA tournament is all about. Let's say they do get a low bid in the tournament. I agree dead on with Graham. I mean, it's like he stole the words right out of my mouth. I mean, Michigan State goes in, and if they are a low seed in the tourney and they have to play a 1, 2, 3, 4 seed, I tell you what, you better be on your hands and knees praying they get past that first round. And that's why, for me, right now, the Big Ten tourney holds a lot of weight. If Michigan State, let's say Michigan State is able to go in there and win in Chicago, and they do get a higher seed, I mean, that'll be fantastic for him. That's ideally what you want. You want that 8. If you're a fan right now, you want to shoot for that 8 or 9 seed going into March, with the middle of March. March 17th, I think, was when the tourney officially starts. That's the type of seed that you want. And, you know, breaking down other areas of this game, Alex, also, Brent Forbes. I mean, how great was he yesterday? 21 points, 8 of 9 from the field, 5 of 5 from three-point land. Didn't miss a three-pointer all game. It seems to me like Brent Forbes always has these big games when no one else is showing up. I mean, how ironic is that? If you remember, I could turn back the hands of time here. If you remember the Notre Dame game where Michigan State goes overtime at the time, Notre Dame was ranked. And I think Notre Dame is a good team. I think they're overrated in some conversations here. But Brent Forbes was outstanding that game. When really only other guy who really had a big game, well, I should say two guys. Brandon Dawson was solid. Denzel Valentine was off the charts. I think Denzel Valentine had something like 22 points. But Brent Forbes, he had 18 points, 7-7, 4-4 from three-point land. He did not miss a shot that entire game. Brent Forbes always seems to just get into this crazy zone when other players are struggling, which is a good thing. But at some point throughout the game, someone else has to give him some help. So I want to shout out him because I thought Brent had a great game. So also, benching BJ. It's something I definitely wanted to talk to Graham about because he was there and he got to ask Izzo what was his thought process behind that. Now, I understand that Brandon Dawson is having some off-the-court, I think, a family issue. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but there's something going on there. And mentally, BJ has admitted that he has not been there 110%. And looking at BJ's performance in the Minnesota game, I mean, I remember Rico Beard of Detroit Sports 105.1 as Tom Izzo after that Minnesota game. I mean, what was up with Brandon Dawson? Because Brandon Dawson just kind of went ghost recon in the final moments of that game. And immediately, before even Rico even gets the question out, Tom Izzo cuts him off and says, I don't know. You have to ask Brandon. I'm not in his body. And there was just clear frustration as to how Brandon Dawson has been playing as of late. I always say, Brandon Dawson is the engine to this car. This team will go as far as Brandon Dawson takes them, because when he is energetic and when he is effective from the tip all the way on, that it has a trickle-down effect. But benching Brandon Dawson, again, he's such a mental player. He's unbelievably athletic. And I tell you what, near the end of this year, Brandon Dawson, I started to see the Brandon Dawson that I saw in the Big Ten tournament leading into the NCAA tournament. A Brandon Dawson who was not afraid to take that 15-footer, who looked confident in taking it, and a guy who could create his own offense for at least some stretch of the game. I didn't see that Brandon Dawson. I haven't seen him now for the past two games. So, I don't know. We'll see if this team can wake up from this hiatus right now. Right now, Alex, if I had to ask you, what is the realistic expectation for this team moving forward? I mean, because right now, I mean, and you heard, we had Rico on not too long ago, and Rico talked about how if Michigan State wins two games in the tournament, they should hang a banner just alone off that fact. And I kind of agree with him, and I kind of see where he's going. Right now, realistically, what do you expect from this team?
Well, what do I expect? I mean, I don't really have any expectations for them, but what I could say is I think if they want to make the NCAA tournament, they probably need to have, one or two wins before the year is over with the remaining games, and probably win one or two Big Ten games. So I think they know what they have to do. It's a tough stretch, but they just have to go moving forward and really make sure that, like you said, Brandon Dawson keeps the engine running.
Yeah, I think Michigan State will win the tourney. Again, mathematically, if you do the math right here, I mean, they're not completely off the bubble. But I think, moving forward, I think that one against Ohio State was when I officially took Michigan State off the bubble because, I mean, you finally get that ranked win and you finally get proof that Michigan State can compete to a certain degree against some of the big dogs in this nation, at least in the Big Ten. So I do think Michigan State will make the tourney. But again, it's what they do after that that will really surprise me if they get past that second round. But we'll see. It's all about matchups. The NCAA tourney is all about matchups. How many Cinderella teams have we seen over the years that weren't expected, weren't slated to go far, but went far because the matchups were there? They were able to expose their opposition in the area of whatever that opposition's weakness was right now. And right now, the weaknesses for MSU is, again, that front court. I'm not sold on the trio of Dawson, Schilling, and Costello to get the job done against a great post presence. Also, I'm a little nervous when you look at the fact that when you take away that transition game and when you force Michigan State to square up and say, all right, beat us in the half court set, I'm not so certain that they can do that. What do you think, folks? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. All right, folks, let's transition here. Let's move on to the Detroit Lions. Now, in the end, folks, the moolah was just simply too much. The Detroit Lions will not use the franchise tag on all-pro defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh. Now, the team announced that this morning, paving the way for Suh to now become an unrestricted free agent if a long-term deal is not with the team and reached by 4 p.m. next week, Tuesday. So the clock is certainly ticking here. And you know what, Alex, now look at this move. I mean, it wasn't really surprising to me because if you do enact the franchise tag on Ndamukong Suh, I mean, we're talking nearly $27 million here. Nearly $27 million. I mean, exactly $26.9 million if you really want to break it down. That ideally would take the Lions totally out of the free agent market when they do have other needs as a team if they want to get better next year. They need help when it comes to a defensive tackle. They need help in the secondary. They need that offensive line to get better because, I mean, Matthew Stafford was among the league leaders in sacks on him throughout the entire year for quarterbacks. So they need an offensive line. They can't do that. They don't have money to play with if they were to give Ndamukong Suh $27 million. Now, when you look at this race now, again, if this deal doesn't get done very, very soon, again, next week Tuesday, I mean, you got a lot of teams out there that would love to have Ndamukong Suh in one of their jerseys. Looking at the Raiders, the Jaguars, the Colts, the Titans. Those are four teams alone, folks, that all have at least $30 million to play with. They can play with that money and throw it at Ndamukong Suh and woo him to come to their team. The Lions simply can't compete with that, Alex. Right now, again, you talk about those four teams alone have $30 million in cap room. The Lions have less than $18 million available, Alex. Less than $18 million. That's not a lot of money. And Sue has gone on the record to tell others in the organization, in the Lions organization at least, that he wants to be the highest defensive player paid in the league. He's gone on to say, I remember we talked about that in week three. It was, you know, he was talking to a few teammates about it. And which I don't think is going to happen, especially when you look at the money J.J. Watt just got. I mean, off the charts. But he wants to be in that conversation. The Lions, without franchise tagging him, which now the deadline is it's certainly passed now, and they said they're not going to do that, the Lions just simply don't allow him to do that. If Detroit wants him to be in a Honolulu Blue jersey next year, they're going to have to give him a good deal, and it's going to come down to whether or not he wants to be in Detroit. That's what it comes down to, because he's not going to get the money he wants. There are other teams that are going to pay him more money than the Detroit Lions are going to offer him. Point blank, period. But does Sue want to be here? I don't think so, Alex. I think this is the last we see of Sue in the Detroit Lions jersey.
I believe the only case for the Lions to sign Sue is if they offer him like a 1 or 2 year deal and kind of use the whole pitch saying, hey, yeah, you're going to go to an Oakland team with more money or a Jaguars team, but we were in the playoffs. We were inches away from succeeding in the playoffs. And you'll have the better chance of winning and getting paid a significant amount of money here. So the franchise tag, you kind of expected that. You saw when they signed back Nick Fairley. That's a significant amount of money. They didn't have to sign Fairley back. They could have just spent their money on Sue and got a cheaper other defensive tackle. But they spent the money on Fairley, I think, is more of an insurance thing. I believe they still have C.J. Mosley coming back. So they had that insurance behind him. So if they don't sign Sue, they'll have some money to play with, but yeah, I mean, I'd love to see him in the Honolulu Blue myself. And I think the best chance of that is saying, hey, if they're not franchising tagging him, you offer him still a good amount of money. You offer him a low deal saying, hey, stick around, see if you win. Maybe we could franchise tag you in the future. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I mean, I don't know about the odds now, Al. It's not looking good. And hey,
yeah, right.
Maybe he didn't want to be here. Maybe the Lions just know that. The franchise tag, not franchising tagging him, is just a sign saying, hey, he's not going to be here next year.
Yeah, and I, at the end of the day, I mean, I don't think Sue is going to accept any deal Detroit throws at him now because, again, he's probably going to look at the numbers across the board at other teams in the NFL and say, hey, I could be making a lot more money here. He didn't come out and say, if you remember, when he was asked midway through the season whether or not he would want to stay with the Lions, he said, hey, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. Talk to my agent. You know, he didn't give a definite, hey, I want to be here. You know what I mean? So that window is certainly open, and there are going to be a lot of teams, if not the entire league, vying for Ndamukong Suh. Right now, I want to read a comment here on our Facebook page. Again, you can weigh in not only by calling in, but go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Bob Every, chairman of the Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame and good friend of Current Sports, wants to weigh in on this discussion. He says, that, quote, they're stupid. I didn't want to say that word. They're stupid if they let this guy get away for any reason. So there you have that. That's what Bob Every says about Ndamukong
Suh. Yeah, and Bob, I hear your comment, but if you're stupid for letting him get away, do you want to spend all that money on Suh and not really having any room to work with? Are the Lions viable to having kind of lower end salary cap players playing, you know, and making a playoff run? I don't think they can.
Yeah, I Yeah, and I agree with I see where Bob is coming from. I think it was more of an emotional response. And again, you know, Bob, again, what do you say, folks? Is they're damn stupid. We can say damn on the air, so they're damn stupid if they don't, if they let this guy get away for any reason. But it's more of an emotional response. It's more of a fanatic response. I mean, because there are a lot of people. I mean, from a fan perspective, yeah, you want Ndamukong Suh to stay as a Lion. I mean, he had the best year of his entire career. But from my financial and realistic perspective, it would not be smart. I just don't think it would be smart. Folks, what do you think about it? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Alex, before we hit the break here, I want to briefly talk about NBA MVP. Because I tell you what, as I was flip-flopping channels yesterday, I was, I kind of, near the end of that game, the MSU game, I kind of turned it off. I'm like, ah, this game's over. Turned it off. And there was a very good game happening on ABC. The Houston Rockets were taking on the King, LeBron James, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And the big matchup of the day, of course, was James Harden versus LeBron James. What a game it was. Really came down to the final moments of that game. It actually went to overtime. And James Harden completely put on a show. So there's a big debate going on right now on who the NBA MVP is. There's been a few names, you know, that have been mentioned. Russell Westbrook. LeBron's name is always in that discussion each and every year. Steph Curry, his name from the Golden State Warriors, is also thrown into the pot. And, of course, James Harden. So, you know, there's a lot of names that have been thrown around here. But I got to tell you, after looking at the place last night, well, not last night, it was an afternoon game. But also across the board, this entire year, I may have to give my vote. As of right now, March 2nd, 2015, I may have to give my vote to James Harden. Now, there are many of those that may not agree with that, including one of our fantastic students who works day in and day out here on Current Sports Radio, my man, Darian Harris. How you doing, Darian?
Great. How you doing, Al?
Fantastic, man. Now, you don't agree with me. I mean, looking at James Harden last night, I said, wow. I mean, he was balling out of control, and I'll get into specifics in just a second. But, I mean, if you had to cast your vote and could cast a vote, Darian, who would it be?
I got to stick with Steph Curry. You know, I think in terms of the MVP race, you really got to reward winning. Not to say that the Rockets haven't been winning. I watched that game as well. Unbelievable matchup, first of all, yesterday between James Harden and LeBron. You know, that's what you want, especially as NBA fans like you are and myself. You know, you want to watch the best of the best go at it. And I think that really took it personal. And anytime LeBron takes something personal, you know you're going to get a show.
Right.
But just looking at Steph's numbers here now, averaging 24 points a game, 8 assists a game. His team is 46-11. That's the best record in the NBA right now. And he is the engine that makes that team go. He's the best player on the best team in the league right now, record-wise. And I really think you got to reward that. I think Harden definitely closed a gap yesterday. But I'm still cashing my vote in for Steph Curry. I think he's been phenomenal this year. He's stepped up his defense, much like Harden has. His on-the-ball defense has been great this year. He's been fiery. And even though he had a bad game against the Cavs a couple games ago, he came back yesterday against the Celtics in a comeback victory, scored 37 points on 5 of 8 from downtown. Just another phenomenal Curry performance. So I'm still going with Curry at the end of the day.
Okay, and you know, you very, very valid points there, and I think it. You know, I think what this discussion comes down to every year, no matter what sport it is for me, Darian, is how exactly do you define the MVP award? Because at the end of the day, it says most valuable player, but it seems as though every year we always have the discussion on, oh, the MVP should go to, again, the best team with the best player. Who is the best player on the best team as well? Again, you got to reward winning. For me, when I look at I try to look at it as this. For me, when I think of MVP, for me, who is the most valuable player? Who is, when you take that player off that team, would that team crumple? How would they be able to stack up against competition? And for me, when just looking at the intangibles for James Harden across the board, James Harden has, of course, I mean, he's the team's, first of all, top assist man. So he's getting others involved while also balancing being the league's leading scorer. That's tough to do. Tough to do. Also, I mean, he lost a very big piece of that offense and defense as well when you talk about arguably the best center in the NBA right now, Dwight Howard. I mean, losing that big piece and to see how James has really just put this team on his back, because let's be honest here, if you take James Harden off that team, the Houston Rockets do crumble. I mean, they may be, you know, just reeling to make the NBA playoffs at the end of the day, playing in the competitive Western Conference. So James Harden has really said, all right, give me the ball. I'm gonna put the team on my back, and I'm gonna lead this team. And he has done a remarkable job at doing that. And again, how he stacks up against the league's best. I mean, you saw him going against the best player in the world, LeBron James, last night. You saw Steph Curry not too long ago go against LeBron. I believe last week, LeBron certainly got the best of that matchup. I mean, they couldn't do anything with him. Looking at how James Harden was able to stack against the King, LeBron James, last night, he had a better game against the King. I mean, now granted, LeBron James certainly had an odd game. I mean, he struggled from the free throw line. I mean, what did he miss, like 8 or so free throws? Like
3 for 11 from the line. I mean, it was...
Yeah, that was weird.
It was really weird.
You know, because LeBron James, at least as of recently, because I used to have, you know, when I was not a big believer on LeBron James back in the day, a LeBron hater back in the day, which I've totally bought in now, I've always said LeBron James isn't clutch. You know, he can't come through in those winning moments, but he's dispelled that notion and then some over the years. He's hit big free throws. He's hit big shots when he's needed to. But, I mean, we kind of saw LeBron James of his rookie year last night. Now, LeBron James is not going to have a – it was a weird game for LeBron James, but you got to give a lot of credit to how James Harden did not step back from that challenge. I mean, he went right at LeBron, was able to hit some big buckets down the stretch. He even had that crossover. Did you see that crossover he had on LeBron James? Oh, it was unbelievable where LeBron kind of buckled, or he bit on the crossover, went for the steal. James goes right by him and gets the foul. But, you know, I just think that looking at the overall body of work, looking at the situation out in Houston, I may have to cast my vote for James Harden. Before we hit the second break here, Alex, who is your vote going to very quickly?
You both did great points, but at the same time, man, I mean, especially with big games against LeBron and whatnot, and Harden came up clutch, a lot of it, too, is the intangible of saying, like, what good teams can you beat? And honestly, I can't make the statement that Steph Curry has beaten great players and great teams. I haven't seen all of Steph Curry in the Warriors games, but James Harden, when he plays great opponents, he plays really well. So I do think the credit is due for James Harden, but to agree with Darren, there hasn't been a player like Steph Curry in quite some time. A player that can be that good of a shooter at that height, that can be that much of a playmaker, I think that's pretty exclusive. So they both have their points, but I'd still give the edge to Harden right now, Al.
All right, yeah. And going back to that one-on-one matchup, just to throw out a stat, I think Steph Curry had, Golden State, Steph Curry, 42-18 en route to win by the Cavs. I'm not sure. I thought that was it, but again, LeBron James outscored Steph Curry in that game and just went redonkulous.
Yeah, Steph only had 18 points.
So it is true. So 18 points for LeBron's 42.
Yep.
Gotcha. Okay. So there is. I had to make sure I was reading that right. Man, Steph Curry 18 points. You just don't see that often.
Yeah,
I
think LeBron definitely took it personal in that game and yesterday. That, you know, the two, you know, MVP candidates he got to go against, and people weren't really mentioning his name until then. So.
Yeah.
You know, great games by all of them. And, you know, it's just great to be able to watch, you know, great players at the end of the day go head to head like that.
That game was certainly fun to watch. All right. Well, let's hit our second break here. When we return, we have been trying to get to this interview for quite a long time. Kirk Cousins returning to East Lansing. You get to hear from Kirk Cousins and his visit to East Lansing. Last week, he was the premier speaker for the Lansing Economic Club luncheon. And also, he was on that Big Ten Appreciation Day just hours before the Michigan State and Minnesota game. Don't go anywhere. More current sports returns in just a sec. All right, welcome back to Current Sports. Just about 10 minutes left in the show. Man, I had a great weekend. You know what? I haven't had, two straight days off in quite a long time, even though I still did work. I still did come into the office. But, man, I spent much of, let's see, Friday night after covering high school hoops and just about all of Saturday, with the exception of attending the MSU Step Show at the Wharton Center, I spent much of those days on my couch with my dog, watching House of Cards on Netflix. I actually finished the entire season. I think it's the fastest I've ever finished a season, any series of a season in the history of my watchability when it comes to shows. And I finished up season 3 of House of Cards, and man, was it good. I tell you what, shout out to Kevin Spacey, Robin Wright, and that entire cast of House of Cards. I was glued to my television all weekend long, so I'm pretty much rested up and ready to get back to work. All right, and I tell you what, folks, we've been trying to get to this interview for quite a long time. Kirk Cousins actually was in town, former MSU star quarterback, Kirk Cousins, who is now, of course, a quarterback for the Washington Redskins, playing second fiddle and now even third fiddle to, of course, RG3, Robert Griffin III, and Colt McCoy out in Redskin territory. But Kurt was in town. He was the premier speaker for the Lansing Economic Club luncheon, and also he was in attendance for Big Ten Appreciation Day held at Michigan State 2 hours before the Michigan State and Minnesota game last week. So I got a chance to steal a bit of Kirk Cousins' time to talk about his career in the NFL and so much more. Here he is.
It certainly is the real world, and it's a big boys league, so it is a business. But I think if you ever lose the joy of it and you lose the fact that at the end of the day it's a game, you're never going to play at the level you want to play at. So you try to balance that business with the fact that that it is a game, and you try to enjoy it still. But just try to be a total professional, work very, very hard, and hope that when you do that, good things will happen. I think I got better as a quarterback, so it was frustrating because maybe the perception was that I wasn't playing as well, but yeah. I felt like I was much better and knew the offense and understood NFL defense is much better. So, and the same could be said of year three.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm taking steps forward every year, and I think the focus as long as I'm in the NFL will be to just get better and let people say what they want to say, let the situation around you be what it is. You can only control so much, but you certainly can control yourself working hard and getting better. And if I keep getting better, I think the rest will take care of itself. I think it's, you know, just an understanding of NFL defenses, an understanding of how the league works, knowing your own system, knowing your teammates. There's so many things that just take time to develop and learn. They can't happen overnight. And I do feel more confident. I think just having been there now, whether I've had successes or failures, having been in those moments and experienced them, give you greater confidence going forward to be better the next time. It was a lot of you know, pressure. Anytime you're a starting quarterback in the NFL, you're going to feel that pressure. But it's what you sign up for, and you got to be able to play well under that pressure. And at times I did, and at times I didn't. And now the focus is on learning from that experience and just trying to get better. I think I'll sound like a broken record all off season, just repeating the fact that I want to get better. I want to get better. And if I do that, I think I'll be just fine. You know, I really don't know, but I am comfortable in Washington. I've enjoyed being there. I've found it to be, you know, a home away from home. You know, Michigan will always be my home, but I've settled in now in Washington, D.C., and, you know, enjoy living there and enjoy the coaching staff and good teammates. So there's a lot to like there, and I think I just need to play well to be able to stay. But hopefully I can control that and, you know, do all I can to keep getting better and then play very well. As much as the NFL has been challenging and involved new experiences, there's probably more that is now the second time around. And it really was the experience at Michigan State that was the first time, dealing with competitions and pressure and, you know, fan base and media and all the things that come with being a starting quarterback at a major university. So being in the NFL, I think I was well prepared having played at Michigan State and being under Coach D'Antonio's leadership. So I did feel well prepared coming into the NFL as a rookie, and I think that you know, I have been prepared for what it means to be an NFL quarterback in a big media market like Washington, D.C. It just comes with the territory, and you welcome it. You understand it's part of the business, and I think you try to just focus on your job and say, you know, what can I control? And whatever I can control, I need to look at and work on and improve upon. But there's so much that I can't control, and I think those are the things that you can't worry about or allow you to lose sleep at night. And I think the guys who can do that are the ones who have success in the long run.
Has there ever been a moment where you've doubted yourself in these 3 years?
I think there were some nights, you know, especially this past season where, you know, I was told to go back to the bench and I wasn't good enough. And I think those moments, you start to have some sleepless nights and you question, you know, am I good enough? But I've had enough people behind me who support me and who know what they're talking about, who have communicated belief in me. And, you know, I think I have a confidence going forward that says, no, if I just keep working hard and keep committing myself to getting better, I think good things can happen. But that remains to be seen. I need to keep putting the work in. You know, it's always been, even back to the Michigan State days, leaning on my family. You know, I have great support from my parents. And you know, now having a wife, you know, I'm so that's in a new blessing, because in college you didn't have that asset. And so going through this past season, being married for the first time this past season, it was a good blessing to have that support right at home. And, you know, outside of your family, there are other people, you know, whether it's coaches back at Michigan State, people you've met along the way, former coaches you've had who understand the quarterback position, understand what you go through, and they've been great supporters and encouragers of me through good and tough times.
Kurt, what's the relationship that you share with RG3 and the other quarterback personnel at Washington?
Oh, we have a great relationship. You know, we enjoy working together, just trying to sharpen one another and develop one another and make each other the best quarterback we can be. And, you know, it's been a good dynamic, and now we're going on into our fourth season together. And, you know, so we continue to work together and just try to make the Redskins the best we can.
What's it feeling like coming back here to East Lansing?
It's good to be back. You know, every time I come back, it feels like a walk down memory lane. And I'm only three years removed from being here as a member of the team. But sometimes when I see all the, you know, additions to the stadium and the additions to the facility, you feel like it's been a lot longer. Other days it feels like it's, you know, I can't believe it's already been 3 years. So, you know, I've learned a lot in these past 3 years since moving on from Michigan State, but I'm very grateful for the experiences I've had here because I think it prepared me well for what I faced.
All right, yep, yeah. Kirk Cousins. He was the premier speaker at the Lansing Economic Club luncheon last week, and also he appeared on Big Ten Appreciation Day on Thursday, last week Thursday, of course, right before that Michigan State and Minnesota men's basketball game. I tell you what, Kirk, getting to see him in, you know, because I haven't seen him in a while. The last time I saw Kirk actually was when he released his book. I mean, it always had to be like 2 summers ago, and he was down at Borders doing a signing, and myself, Chris Solari of the Lansing State Journal, and a few other journalists from around the area got a chance to talk with Kirk. And again, yeah, he's a married man. He had, his wife was right there during the entire interview. He's happy. But I tell you what, I don't know about his career in Washington, man. It's real sticky because if you remember, he had a few games last year, I believe 3 games in which he was able to start because RG3 went down, got a lot of press, a lot of media coverage because prior to then, Kirk Cousins had came in and done a pretty solid job as RG3's backup. Came in, had a few rocky outings in that last game. He had like 3 or 4 interceptions against the Philadelphia Eagles on Thursday Night Football, and they decided to go with Colt McCoy. So, as far as Kirk's future, I don't know if he'll be wearing a Washington Redskins jersey anytime soon. So, but he's happy right now. That's the main thing, and that's something that he wanted to definitely put an emphasis on throughout that entire interview. So, all right, it's time for Weekend Winners. A brief one here. 3 minutes left. Alex, can we cue up the music?
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around.
All right, ladies and gents, it is time for Weekend Winners. A really brief one here as we recap the weekend that was in bringing you who we thought had the best weekend. So, I want to shout out first Ronda Rousey. Oh my goodness, is she good or what? Ronda Rousey is certainly taking the UFC world by storm. I love watching her fight. She actually won her championship fight over the weekend. And get this. 14 seconds. That's how quick that match lasted. I mean, she is proving that she is one of the best in the business. And I tell you what, man, I mean, I like watching a Ronda Rousey fight. I may take a Ronda Rousey fight over the majority of UFC men's fights that I see on TV. So Ronda Rousey, she's spectacular. A big win for her. Definitely want to shout out her because, man, that had to be like the quickest UFC match I've ever seen in my life. Also, Kentucky. All they do is win, folks. They are sitting at 29-0. They got all 62 votes for yet another week. They are numero uno in the nation, folks, in both the USA Today Coaches Poll and the Associated Press Poll. So Kentucky, the Kentucky men's basketball team, man, nobody wants to see that team come tourney time, folks. So those are my 2 weekend winners, folks. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. Shout out to Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal. Thanks a lot, Graham, for joining me on the show today. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Heading out to girls basketball district tonight, folks. It's about that time. Take care. Have a fantastic day. And be easy, people.